As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
You know, one of my favorite Christmas rituals in our family is setting out the manger scene. We've got this nativity scene that's been in our family for many, many generations. And I want to tell you a little bit about that. Our nieces and nephews are always eager to come and help arrange the manger scene. And I love to watch how the children, they kind of study the placement of every shepherd and every angel and every sheep. And the kids were putting out the manger scene, and they would step back and evaluate their work. And at one time, my little niece Alexandria, she asked me, did the baby Jesus get cold in the manger? And she said, did Mary and Joseph have a blanket to cover Jesus, or were the swaddling clothes warm enough? And then she looked at me one Christmas. We were setting out the nativity scene, and she said, Uncle Alex, why did Jesus come? Hi, Alex McFarland here. So honored to be with you this morning on Real Truth for Today. I'm very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and he'll be back soon. But we've got a very special show, and I want to share a verse with you. And then we're going to talk with Cajun Navy. Now, this is going to be really great. And we've got a guest, John Briggers, that you'll meet in just a moment. And they're doing some amazing things. And part of the reason that I wanted to have John Briggers on, the Cajun Navy has been doing some wonderful work. And Christmas is all about giving. You know, in fact, in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Some translations will say, thanks be to God for his indescribable, inexpressible gift, the coming of Jesus. And to my niece's question, why did Jesus come? He came for a lot of reasons, but he came because he loves you. And I want to say this as emphatically as I can, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, and Jesus alone, the one and only Savior. And I love Christmas. If you listen to our other show, we have another show 3 to 4 Central Time every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Eastern Time. We're heard all over North America, and we get emails even from people in Europe, and we've had calls from London, Canada, even couple of emails from the Middle East. People listen to Exploring the Word, and we love, Bert Harper and I, we love to talk about the coming of Jesus, because not only is really Christmas the focal point of the month of December, obviously, and the year coalesces, the final month of the year, but Jesus and his coming are the focal point in all of history. And if you'll allow him, Jesus will be the focal point of your life. He should be. He is Lord of all. And you know, I grew up on a farm, and we had a listener who asked about the verse where Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And somebody asked about that, you know, Matthew 11 verse. What does that mean? Well, I know what a yoke is. Now, let me say this. I'm going to bring our guest up. Imagine almost like a wooden figure eight that could link two livestock together. In some countries, they plow with ox, and some places they plow with cows or donkeys or mules, right? In the barn on our farm back in North Carolina, my grandfather, it hadn't been used in years and years, but we had a couple of yoke. And, you know, the yoke is a big, heavy wooden thing. Two, you know, livestock could be linked together, and a hard day of plowing would be ahead. And that would, the listeners in Jesus' day would have instantly known to be under a yoke meant weight and burden and servitude. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what does it mean to be yoked to Jesus? Well, if you put your faith in Christ, your sins are forgiven, you're saved. We are to live under His Word, the Bible. We are to follow God's Holy Spirit that indwells us and guides us. But here's the beautiful thing about it, and maybe an agricultural illustration like this is a little bit foreign to people today, but like I say, people in Christ's time would have instantly known. To be under a yoke speaks of heaviness, but to be yoked or connected to Jesus is to be set free. Paul said this in the book of Romans, that he was the bond slave of Christ. And here's the beautiful reality. To be enslaved to Jesus is to be set free. And so we thank God for the gift of His Son, Jesus. And right now, I want to transition and talk about the Cajun Navy, because they've been giving the gift of help to people, a lot of people, but in my own home state of Western North Carolina, the hurricane just decimated so many homes and places, and the Cajun Navy is among the people that have been helping valiantly. Exactly 2 weeks ago today, I was touring through Western North Carolina, and the devastation is still just hugely visible up there. But we're going to meet, and what a privilege now, he's made time to be with us, John Bridgers of the Cajun Navy 2016. And John, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Alex.
Good morning. You are the founder and the CEO of Cajun Navy 2016. And I want to hear how it was started down there in Louisiana. But I want to thank you for ministering in my state in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. And when we talk about generosity, help, charity, and gift giving, brother, you and your crew personify that. So thank you.
No problem. It's been an honor.
Yeah. So I want to hear about this. I like the name, Cajun Navy. I mean, that I don't even know all about it, and that's a cool name. So give us the kind of the backstory, if you would, John.
Okay. I'll be glad to do that. Back in 2005, we had a major hurricane. It was named Katrina.
Oh.
It struck New Orleans head on, and it was a really, really bad hurricane that flooded thousands of people and just made a big mess. When that particular event happened, local officials didn't have enough boats. Everything was flooded. New Orleans is below sea level to start with. So once it all flooded, officials didn't have enough boats to perform boat rescues. So a plea was spread over the radio, anybody that had a boat and was willing and able to come down New Orleans and start rescuing these people, you know, before they, a bunch of them drowned and stuff. So that's exactly what we did. Fast forward to 2016. Now we have Facebook and everything else. We had in 2016 what was called the Great Flood of 2016 hit Louisiana. It wasn't a named storm. It was just a freak thunderstorm that lasted for like 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
It flooded a large portion of the area that I reside in over there in Livingston Parish and some surrounding parishes as well. And now with Facebook, it kind of put everything in a new perspective, and the Cajun Navy kind of rose again. And I was fortunate enough, the good Lord put it on my heart to create a Facebook page called Cajun Navy 2016. And from then, it has just been something amazing that's happened in my life, and we've been able to help thousands and thousands of people from then to present, and still going strong.
Amen. Well, that is wonderful. How many people are in the Cajun Navy?
Well, we've got a list of about 250 people that have been background checked and vetted and stuff like that. And then, of course, when these different disasters hit, We have a large number of people that respond from all over the country that want to step in at that point in time. So realistically, it's thousands of people that'll come to the calling. So that, to answer your question, about it's basically thousands of people.
Yeah. And so you've gone well beyond New Orleans and Louisiana and, you know, your point of origin. And how did you guys get all the way up to, like, North Carolina? And let me ask this, is like, Western North Carolina, is that as far from home as you guys have come, or where all have you been?
Well, we normally focus, you know, hurricanes are going to hit the Gulf Coast, and basically that's our territory. You know, we covered the entire Gulf Coast down here. This is actually our second time coming to North Carolina. We responded to Hurricane Florence several years back whenever it flooded parts of it. And we stayed over there in Lumberton and made a big impact. And so North Carolina is kind of like one of our places that we will respond to. Yes, sir.
Yeah. We the eastern coastal plain, they call it. It can be really prone to flooding and storms and things like that. My wife and I have been here most of our lives, and you know, like the Gulf Coast. As much as I love the water and I love to be down where the ocean and the good fishing is, it can be very vulnerable to storms, much like the Gulf Coast.
Exactly. They can change in a blink of an eye, too.
Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this. If you're just tuning in, folks, we're talking with John Bridgers of the Cajun Navy 2016. I know you've got the Facebook page, and it, folks, it's spelled just like it sounds, C-A-J-U-N, Cajun Navy 2016. Do you have a website?
Yes, sir, we do. It's www.cajunnavy2016.org.
Yeah. But it was really your Christian convictions that motivated you to help people so much in the first place, wasn't it?
Most definitely. That's, you know, we love helping people, and what better way to help people is, you know, when they're in their darkest moment, whenever these disasters strike. We've been fortunate enough to make a big difference in a lot of people's lives over the years.
Mm-hmm. So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the destruction in Western North Carolina?
I would have to give it a 10 on this one. You know, up until Helene, I would say Harvey was the worst that we've ever responded to.
Mm-hmm.
But here in North Carolina, it's just, I mean, to have a strong hurricane make it this far inland, and, you know, what we experienced on this deployment, not only were we cutting trees and stuff that came down off the side of mountains and everything, but we actually had to excavate dirt, and that's something we've never done before, you know, as far as all the landslides. Another thing is the number of washed out roads and bridges.
Oh, yeah.
That people encounter, you know, talk about really cut somebody off from, you know, the world.
Yeah.
Especially people up on top of these mountains. It was just unbelievable.
I was up there 2 weeks ago today, traveling around, and did you see some of the places like the railroad tracks, John, where the railroad track would almost be hanging in midair and the ground underneath it was gone?
Yeah, I see scenarios like that just about every day as we work different parts of the state.
Now, up in North Carolina, did you have like a skid steer or any equipment to help move dirt?
Most definitely. Whenever the hurricane hit, we had, you know, thousands of people that reached out wanting to come and volunteer. And amidst all those was people that had their own personal heavy equipment, skid steers and excavators. And yeah, we had a lot of crews come up here just specifically for that.
Mm. Well, we got to take a break. John, can you stay with us, brother? Can you hang on through this break?
Most definitely.
Cool. Alex McFarland here. This is Real Truth for Today on the American Family Radio Network. It's the Christmas season, folks. God gave the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Let's us give gifts to those around us in love and in honoring him as well. Stay tuned. We're going to be back after this brief break. More with John Bridgers of the Cajun Navy 2016 and Christmas truth from God's Word and more. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You know, it's always a joy to see somebody's reaction when you give them a gift. And I think most people would understand what I'm talking about. It is a blessing to be able to give things to people. And of course, as we are talking about all month long, how God sent his son, the greatest gift of all. You know, I opened up with a question from my little niece who asked me one time while we were putting out the nativity scene. She said, Uncle Alex, why did Jesus come? There's a lot of reasons, but Matthew 1:22, this is awesome. Regarding the birth of Jesus, it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet. And so God keeps his promises, folks. You can depend on that. As we go into this Christmas season, you know, a lot of times, as joyful and wonderful as Christmas is, sometimes people are depressed. Right now, I can think of three families that have just in the last few days had bereavements, and that's sad. There are a lot of people that have had natural disasters, like we were talking about in my home state of North Carolina. There are a lot of things. It could be a health issue, could be some relationship issue, family issues. But we want to say, and I'm sure my guest John Bridgers would concur, that God is faithful. And my dear friend, God has made promises to you. And if you will call out to Jesus, and we always say this, but it's really, really true, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. You will find Jesus to be the most faithful friend you've ever had. You will find the Bible to be the most trustworthy thing you ever read, because it's God's Word. And Jesus came, a lot of reasons, born in that Bethlehem manger to ultimately go to Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt. And it was fulfilled by the prophecies, the promises, the prognostications of old. But Christmas is one more proof that God is real and that God is faithful. Well, we are talking with John Bridgers. He's the founder of Cajun Navy 2016. I encourage you to check out their Facebook page or their and or their website, Cajun Navy 2016 as well. But he's got compelling stories about helping people through disasters, and there have been a lot of people that have volunteered. And John, I got to tell you, for one thing, thanks for being with us, and thanks for what you're doing to help the people of our nation. My dad was in the Navy, and I've always loved the water and boats, but Cajun Navy, that just sounds cool, because when I think of the word Cajun, you know, I just imagine, you know, going out into these waterways and fishing and seeing snakes and, you know, animals. So here's a question. This might sound like a weird question, but I'm an eager pupil. What does Cajun mean, John?
Cajun is a term that's used down in South Louisiana describing a type of person, you know, that loves to spend time in the swamps and the bayous down here. Mm-hmm. We like to hunt and fish and kind of live off the land like that. And, you know, it's a very good thing, you know.
It's beautiful country. I mean, all the stuff we see on TV about the bayou area and, you know, Louisiana, there have been a lot of shows. I really think a lot of Americans are very enamored with the bayou and the swamp areas, because being out there and taking a John boat up and down in amongst all those trees, I think it looks like a type of freedom that most of us in America don't get to experience.
That's exactly right. It's just like the North Carolinas have the beautiful mountains with the beautiful trees, and leaves are turning different colors in the fall. And back home in Louisiana, we have the glorious looking cypress trees in the swamps with an abundance of wildlife and alligators everywhere. And, you know, sometimes people just need to unwind and get away from the hustle and bustle. And what better way to do it than to spend time on top of a mountain or down south in Louisiana in the bayous and swamps.
And plus, I would be remiss if I didn't point this out. When I hear the word Cajun, I think of some really good food, too.
Most definitely. We've got some very good food. As a matter of fact, on this particular deployment, some of our people that support us and donate stuff to us, back home, we've had a bunch of people donate Cajun food to bring up here, like boudin and hoghead cheese and pork cracklings and stuff. And, you know, a lot of times I give this food to people and ask them to try it, but I don't tell them what it is until after they've eaten it.
Yeah.
Because, like the hoghead cheese, it'll kind of deter them right off the bat.
Yeah.
But
I got to ask, what is that, actually?
Hoghead cheese is pretty much where they use parts of the hog, specifically the head. They'll boil it down and all the meat and different fats and stuff on the head is boiled down into a stock pot, and then it's later put in little trays and chilled in the refrigerator, and you wind up with like a little meatloaf type deal, and you make slices off of that and stick it on a cracker, and, you know, it's some really good stuff.
You know, I'd have to be pretty hungry, I think, to eat that. I'm not for sure that I would go there, brother. But at any rate, for those that may just be tuning in, we're talking to John Bridger's wonderful charitable organization, Cajun Navy 2016. And I know, John, I can hear it. There's a lot of people probably, mostly guys, probably thinking, hey, how do I get on board and volunteer? Do you allow volunteers to participate in the Cajun Navy?
Yes, most definitely. We usually have them go to our website, and we've got a section in there where they can sign up to volunteer. And like I said, there's an application process that you have to go through, and we vet everybody and make sure we've got the right people coming to work with our organization instead of just taking anybody that steps up, you know. They've got all kinds of people in this world, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Like, when you were in Western North Carolina, we heard news reports of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management, that, and it was documented in the news that sometimes people who had Trump signs in their yard didn't get help from FEMA. How would you rate the way that our government was responding? And also, let me say this, the FEMA under the Biden administration, there were reports that they didn't have enough money, the resources were not adequate because a lot of resources had been spent supporting, you know, illegal immigration and things like that. So how could you speak to the way the government was helping the citizens of Western North Carolina in the aftermath of the hurricane?
Well, I mean, that's not a topic I really like discussing, the government part. But I would definitely say the response has been kind of slow. And in my eyes, there's a lot of people out here that are homeless. They were sleeping in tents. Now we're dealing with winter. So this morning it's 20 degrees. So we're trying to make sure everybody's out of tents and in some kind of shelter that's better than that. You know, people have gone through enough, and we don't need them to perish after the fact just because they're cold.
Mm-hmm.
So, I understand through FEMA. It's a process, and you know, it unfortunately sometimes it takes a while to get things going and get the wheels in motion. But you know, like our organization, and just like a bunch of different NGOs, you know, non-government organizations, you know, we're able to get out there quickly and make things happen, like almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And you know, the main thing is to you know, make sure people aren't perishing because they don't have adequate housing and warmth.
Yeah. You know, it was late September when Hurricane Helene hit, and I remember that was like among my very first thoughts, John. Cold weather will be coming on soon, and let me tell you, it gets really cold up there. There have been times in western North Carolina, like Asheville, North Wilkesboro, Boone. You probably know this, John, but there have been times when it snowed so much that they would do food drops, like with helicopters, because, I mean, the snow was so deep. So winter can be incredibly, incredibly severe up there. Yeah. So what about people whose homes are gone? I mean, where are they going to stay in all this cold weather?
Well, on this particular deployment, something's happened that's never happened on any other ones that we have experienced. People that own travel trailers, they've been stepping up. I mean, not just a couple. There's like a lot of people stepping up and donating their travel trailers, either to give them to these people or to let them stay in them temporarily until they get back on their feet. And here the last 2 or 3 weeks, that's kind of what we have shifted towards, is taking possession of these trailers, going out, finding the families that need them, and setting them up for them, and putting them in these trailers on the properties that have been destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That generosity is very heartwarming, isn't it?
It is very.
have you been to the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center there off of I-40? The Cove, have you interfaced with them at all?
I have not. We pretty much have been stationed here in Montreat, and we've gone everywhere from Burnsville, Spruce Pine, all the way down to Mill Springs, mm-hmm. down south, and making a big circle. But unfortunately, I haven't made it there yet.
Had you ever been to Montreat before?
Never been here.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
There's magic in these mountains, I'll say that. Montreat, actually, I like to give a big shout out to the Montreat Conference Center. They mm-hmm. have been so generous as to give us possession, or you know, use of these lodges we've got over here that we've been staying in for going on 10 weeks now. They've got an abundance of rooms, kitchen, big living room area here. This living room, actually, whenever we first got here, started getting supplies rolling in. I mean, it was unbelievable. We had supplies stacked as high as, you know, 6 foot tall in here, and volunteers would make these bags, and other volunteers would bring them out into the communities, and I just, it's just an awesome place.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Besides Western North Carolina, do you have any other things going on around the country right now?
No, sir. We pretty much just focusing right here in this area. You know, we don't want to spread ourselves thin. It's better to have all our assets in one particular area than scattered out. I mean, we're not a large organization like Samaritan's Purse or anything like that. But who knows, one day we might get there. When I first started our organization, I actually was introduced to Samaritan's Purse, and I was blown away with what they, you know, what they provide as far as coming in, helping to get these houses and stuff. And you know, it's an awesome organization. They do a lot of good for a lot of people. And on this deployment to see Cajun Navy 2016 and Samaritan's Purse and all these different posts as far as talking about boots on the ground and all the good that we're doing, you know, I'm just, you know, it's an honor to be put at that level.
Amen. And you know, isn't that just one example of how the Lord can turn good out of otherwise tragedy? You know, when I was up there two weeks ago, and we were talking with different people, different denominations, some people up there not Christian, but very touched by the way Christians were working together. And out of tragedy can come something good, folks. And, you know, let me just say this to everybody listening. One of the verses I love is Joel 2:25, where God says, "I restore the years the locust has eaten." And growing up on a farm, locust and predators and insects that devour crops, that's bad. But God, if we let him, God brings good out of tragedy. And John, I know you're seeing that too. The hurricanes are tragic, floods are tragic, no denying that. But people working together, good can come out of it, can't it?
That's correct. And a lot of these, you know, several of these storms, like back in 2016, just kind of show you how God works. You know, I'm sorry, I'm losing my thought. Back in 2016, our community was divided. We had like a mass shooting over there. This guy came in and killed like six police officers and stuff. Mm. And as far as race-wise, there was a division. And shortly after that, the flood happened. And you know what? It didn't discriminate. It took the guy's house that, you know, was worth $1 million, and it took the one that didn't really have a house. It took all their possessions. And all these people have come from all over the nation and even the world to come together and, you know, bring that love into those communities and help.
Hey, hold that thought, John. I'm so sorry. We've got a break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to take calls. 888-589-8840. Stay tuned. We'll more with John Bridgers of the Cajun Navy. And we'll take your calls and more. Don't go away.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Alex McFarland here, very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and just privileged to kind of link the promises of God's Word with what's going on in the world today. We're talking with John Bridgers of the Cajun Navy 2016. Hey, we're going to take questions, and the number, if you want to call in, if you've got a question or comment, or even prayer requests, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to remind people, if you would, that Bert Harper and I are in the book of Hosea, and before Christmas, we're gonna wrap up Hosea probably in the next couple of days, but then we're going to do the book of Micah, and we've got a lot of really great Christmas content. That's on Exploring the Word, heard 3 to 4 Central Time, live 5 days a week on the American Family Radio Network. One little shout out for myself, if I could. We've got a lot of exciting stuff going on in 2025. As we did last year, I'll be doing 7 youth camps all summer next year. We'll be in Montana and Indiana and Virginia. Go to my website, if you would, alexmcfarland.com, and we'll have roughly 1,200 teenagers in 7 biblical worldview youth camps. I'll be twice at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, next summer teaching the Bible. We've got a citywide crusade in Carthage, Mississippi. We've got a citywide evangelistic crusade in Barrie, Alabama, Wichita, Kansas. So if you would, keep us in prayer. Go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, and look at the calendar. And I would love to meet you when I'm in a town near you. But John, thanks for being with us. Before we take our first call, if you would, John, give your website and your Facebook page again.
It's www.CajunNavy2016.org, where you can find us on Facebook. It's CajunNavy2016.
CajunNavy2016, that's cool. Very good.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we're going to take a call from North Carolina. Aaron in North Carolina. Aaron, thanks for calling in. By the way, folks, the number 888-589-8840. Aaron, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hello. This is the first time I've ever called into AFR.
Well, thank you.
I'm actually from Berga. I grew up in Wilmington, and I wanted to say thank you to the Cajun Navy, because before I moved to Berga, that was when Hurricane Florence hit, and we were staying with my in-laws, and information doesn't really get out when you don't have power. And I found out after the fact that they had done, they did a water rescue in the middle of the night of a family friend.
Wow.
His kind of house fell into the river. And I thank you for that. And my cousin, the past year, actually moved back to North Carolina. She was living in Colorado for a while. And she moved to Asheville because she loved the mountains and the weather. And so now she's there, and her whole neighborhood is flooded out. And you know, we're just very thankful for everybody helping out.
God bless you. John, hearing testimonies like that, that makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it, brother?
Most definitely. Sure it does. That's what keeps us going.
Amen. Aaron, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. I know where Berga is, and I've been down there to preach down near Wilmington. And John, help people understand the magnitude, you know, all that flooding in the mountains of North Carolina. Because, I mean, it's one thing when there's enough water to flood a semi-flat area. But, you know, I've been all over. You mentioned Weaverville and, you know, Black Mountain and all those places. I've preached all up through there. And, I mean, when floodwaters, when you've got enough rain to put water up the side of a mountain, I mean, that's just almost hard to get your mind around how much water that is, isn't it, John?
Yeah, I mean, whenever we first got here, what I never could figure out, I know we had a significant amount of rainfall, but as we were making our ways to the top of these mountains, it was amazing to see the amount of flooding that happened at the top of the mountain. How do you get that much water at the top of the mountain to put 3 foot of water in a road and, you know, washing boulders the size, half the size of a small car up against a person's house, mm-hmm. and trees and everything else and washing out roads? I mean, it was just mind blowing. I wouldn't have thought it would be possible, but I mean, it's everywhere like that.
You know, and this was the last few days of September, folks. So this is, you know, we're coming up on about 3 months ago. But wasn't it something like a year's worth of rain in 3 or 4 days?
Yeah, well, I want to say I heard it was a little over 30 inches.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
It really is. It really is. And by the way, if you've got a question for John Bridgers, you want to learn about the Cajun Navy 2016, the number is 888-589-8840. John, we're going to go to a part of the world that you're very familiar with, Louisiana. Stephanie in yes. Louisiana. This is awesome. We got a call from the Cajun country. Stephanie, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for addressing this. It's been on everybody's hearts down here because we know how desperate people can be during flooding when you have nothing. And so bless your guest and the Cajun Navy 2016 for all they're doing. And my question is this, how may we donate? I know money is always welcome. There's how about tangibles? What sorts of things in terms of food, dried foods, or propane, or you know, Coleman stoves, this sort of thing? How and what is needed? What can they do, and how can we help with donations?
Okay, yeah, of course, the food part. Everybody's kind of stocked up good on food right now at the moment. What stage we're in now as far as today is the shelter part. Now that's, you know, to keep these people warm, coats and propane and heaters and stuff like that. We have in the past made Amazon wish lists and ship them, you know, it could change. We can send it to one location, and when that location fills up, we send it to another location and just kind of keep the chain going like that. Maynard Electric and Morganton over there, they have been like an awesome hub over there. We've been sending a lot of stuff over there. Ronnie and Sierra over there, they've got probably about 175,000 square foot warehouse, and the loads of stuff going over there have just been nonstop from day one. And what's happening, as all this stuff's being put over there, they're taking orders from different counties. They'll call in and request different items and stuff, and they're pulling this stock out of their warehouse, putting it on a pallet, shrink wrapping it, and sending it to these communities. And that would be, you know, I will get the address, and we can post that. And if you'd like to send something to Maynard Electric, you can do so that way.
Yeah, I know where Morganton is there. And John, you're probably putting regular updates on your Facebook page, I would guess, right?
Yes, sir. They're constantly changing.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for asking that. I was going to ask that before the show went out, but, you know, how can people help? And are there any specific... John, I mean, do you need chainsaws? I mean, any specific tools that people could donate, and or what?
Yeah, pretty much the chainsaw part is over with. That was in the first phase. What we're getting into now, we're having a bunch of different groups come in and start helping these people rebuild their houses, actually. Right here at the lodge I'm staying at, we've got the Fuller Center. They're next door. They've been having about 20 volunteers plus a week coming up here. I believe Nathan told me they're working on 8 houses right now. Mm-hmm. And Monday they actually put a lady back in her house. So they were making a tremendous, you know, effort to do that for those people. So with that being said, maybe building materials or carpentry tools or different things like that. A lot of these people, you know, they had insurance on the house, but they didn't have flood insurance. I mean, they're in the mountains, so
yeah, who would thought, you know?
So a lot of these people are, you know, still having these houses they're paying a note on every month, and they're not even able to live in it.
Yeah.
So in order to kind of get them back to normal, as people are willing to donate, you know, don't rule out building materials and stuff to redo their houses.
Also. Sure. We're going to go to Louisiana again. Patty in Louisiana, welcome to the program with our guest, John Bridgers.
Hi, and thank you. And I've been wondering since that hurricane how to donate, because I don't like to put money online. I like to call people and give them my card. I'm older and kind of old-fashioned with that. But anyway, thank you so much. And I remember 2016 when y'all first came. I've been fortunate not to flood, and North Carolina has been on my mind, you know, since the flood, and we've been dodged for years. And, you know, I live in Baton Rouge in our area and stuff, and we're usually the target, and we've been dodged, and I thank God for that, but my heart goes out to these other people, especially like North Carolina. We're used to it. We know what to do. It's coming. This is what you do. And my heart just pleads for you guys. Mm. And I was thinking just yesterday, I'm going, these people is getting cold.
Yeah. Wow.
So how can I help and go online and donate money?
Hey, John.
I mean, a phone number, I'm sorry.
Yeah. John, do you have a phone number? Hey, John, are you there? We might have lost John, you know, and he is on the ground there in Western North Carolina. Patty, I am so grateful for you calling. And I tell you what we're going to do. Again, his website is Cajun Navy 2016. And then on Facebook as well. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to see if I can find the phone number, and we'll, so we must have lost John there. But we'll put that on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Brent Austin, one of my, the staff who helps us run the Facebook page there, we'll try to put that phone number up there. But thank you for caring. And you know what? I know it goes without saying, folks, prayer. You know, the Bible tells us to pray and to intercede for each other, and so we can always do that, and I want to encourage you to do that. And as time fleets away, you know what's so beautiful? Jesus was born, and among the countless blessings, salvation, the fulfilled prophecies, Jesus rose from the dead. But here's the thing. Do you know benevolence and charity? Just like we've been talking about, Cajun Navy has been so charitable. But Matthew 25 says, if we give a cup of cold water in his name, it's as if we've done it for Christ. And so one of the beautiful things about benevolence and giving and generosity and charity is we do it as unto the Lord. And John, are you back, brother?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for calling back in. We've only got about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left. The previous caller from Louisiana, she kind of got emotional, so moved by the work you're doing. But she was saying a phone number. Is there a phone number people can call in on and talk to the Cajun Navy?
Yeah, if you go to the website, we've got that information on there. I apologize for not knowing it right offhand, but yes, we do have a phone number.
Yeah.
Go to the website and they can retrieve it there.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can. Now, I see 833-225-8616. Does that sound right, John?
I believe that's right, yes, sir.
833-225-8616. Well, how can we be praying? We've only got half a minute left there, brother. Prayer request. How can we be lifting you up in prayer, John?
Well, just first and foremost, all these people affected by Hurricane Helene, definitely keep them in your prayers as they get through these trying times. and pray for the volunteers that are up here trying to get these people's lives back to somewhat normal. They need.
Amen. God bless you, John Bridgers and the Cajun Navy. Almost out of time. Alex McFarland here saying thanks for listening, and may God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.